The GAA program with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vergas, while you go, Gian Clark, come and look last game on a shock to the show to meet Tom Comack with you as always on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And, well, we've got a very big bumper lineup for you again tonight. Coming up at tonight's programme, we hear from John Joe Carney, assistant manager of All-Ireland club finalist Sláinte on their joint-killing All-Ireland semi-final win over reigning All-Ireland champion St Vincent's. But first, we hear from a man that is already celebrating an All-Ireland success, and that is John James McLaughlin, Efig na Gaeilge of August Culture of the Neve Columba GAA Club in Glencolum Kill, who are celebrating an All-Ireland scoring load success this weekend. John James celebrating once again another All-Ireland title, an All-Ireland score and an old quiz title.
Yeah, first of all, Tom, thanks very much for letting me on your programme, invite me on. It was a great achievement, you know.
Yeah, and it's the second in what, 4 years?
In 4 years. In 2014, we won it for the first time down in Castlebar.
And tell me about this year's team.
Well, this year's team, it was a younger team, you know, and there's one lad, he's only 13 years of age, you know.
And who's on it? Tell me who's on it.
Dara Cunningham, Lanty Molloy, and they have the famous Anthony Molloys, and Vincent Doherty, and McGill.
And is there any overlap over the 4 years?
Well, we this is our fourth year competing. In 2015, we were in the City West in Dublin, and we were third place. And 2016, we were sixth place in Killarney.
And you won your first, as you say, 2014 in Castlebar.
2014.
And who was on that team?
Brian Gallagher, Cormac McGinley, Paul O'Neill, and Aidan McGill.
Obviously, some footballers, well, good footballers in there as well.
That's right. One of them was a very good footballer. Ronan Gillespie and Lanty Molloy are on the underage teams in the technical school, you know.
Obviously, there's been an emphasis, has there been, put on it? I know you've always had a great tradition, and the great Paddy Bug Gillespie obviously kept the flag flying for score for years, and it's particularly for quiz teams and quizzes down the years.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, Paddy would have a great interest in the culture in the club, you know.
And so obviously there was some effort put in, especially with the quiz teams, obviously, was there?
Well, I must confess, great credit is due to Danny Cunningham, principal of the school, the Minnelline School in Glencolum Kill, you know. Takes great pride in quiz, and he was the man behind the whole thing in fairness, you know.
Obviously there's a secret formula somewhere, is there? Or is it just that they're...
Well, Tom, it'd be something like the famous Kerry and Dublin teams, you know. Success breeds success, you know.
So all in all, I'm sure you enjoyed it, and I'm sure it was in where? Belfast?
Belfast, and the waterfront in Belfast. Right. And we had all the parents with us as well, you know. The
big celebrations after.
Well, unfortunately we hadn't, because it was on at 11 o'clock and it was over about 1 o'clock. And then the presentation wouldn't be till 7 o'clock in the evening. And so the team decided they'd like to wait for the presentation. Aidan O'Farrell and
the president, yeah.
President of the GAA, yeah.
So congratulations anyway. And yeah. Before I let you go, I have been getting whispers and murmurs to mention this to you as well. Indeed,
yes.
You have a big day coming up, retiring from...
I'm retiring from Buthir after 46 years.
Coming up soon, is it?
It's coming up soon.
Brilliant.
So it'll be at the end of this month. Yeah.
And for 46 years, I'm sure there's a couple of programmes in that.
Well, I started off with CIE at the time. You know, I worked with three companies, Sumper Aaron, Beard Rod Aaron, and Buffet, the latter one, the end one, you know.
Yeah, and I know you've been in Stranorlar for a number of years. How long have you been there?
I'm there 30 years in Stranorlar. I worked in Sligo, Castlebar, Galway, and all over the west of Ireland, the town I don't think I've then worked in.
So when is the big day?
I'm retiring the 28th of February.
Oh, good.
And just as you're on there, just one thing before I leave, I must pay tribute to Fergus McGee, Rooney, Borden McKenzie, the Scott, and Conor Donald, who do tremendous work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Score
seems to be thriving again in the county.
Yeah, score's going quite well at the moment, yeah. But great tribute to pay to them two lads, you know.
As I said, John James, congratulations again yourself.
Thanks for good to meet him while you got.
John James McLaughlin there, and congratulations to John James. Congratulations to John James and the Neve Columba Scornanog team of Galanti Malloy, Ronan Gillespie, Vincent Doherty and Dara Cunningham on their great success in the Waterfront Hall in Belfast, winning the All-Ireland, a second title for Niamh Columba in 4 years. Last won it in 2014. Congratulations also to Danny Cunningham, as you heard there. Certainly, John James paying tribute to Danny, and of course Danny no mean footballer when he's playing this with Niamh Columba as well. And we also wish John James a great Niamh Columba man and a great G Gale, and indeed David Gillespie of the club rang me earlier this evening to make sure and mention and pay tribute to the great servant that John James has proved to be for the club. And no doubt now that he's retiring from his position in the bus here, and that he will even devote more time to the club. But congratulations, John James, again, and all the best on your retirement. Still to come on the programme tonight, I'm joined by John Joe Carney, of course assistant manager of All-Ireland Club finalist Knocknill, on their giant-killing act last weekend when they defeated the reigning All-Ireland champions, the almighty St. Vincent's of Dublin. And that certainly was a super performance. And we'll be joined by John Joe in a moment or so. But first of all, just to remind you once again, if you want to text us or if you want to say anything on the programme, remember our new number, text number is 086 60 25,000. Yeah, that's the new number, 086 60 25,000. And also, of course, we have this new listen pack. If you want to listen to the program, if you missed part of it, or if you want to email it on to somebody or whatever, or listen to it again, you know, if you just want to get a second bite at it, you can do so by listening on www.highlandradio.com, or we will also have it on the Highland Radio app, and that's free download. Not sure how to get it, but if you check it out, I think it's on iTunes anyway, so you'll get it free. So that's a new service. We've had it for a while, but certainly quite a big interest in that. But still to come, of course, as well, I suppose we have to congratulate Donegal on their great victory over Roscommon last weekend. We had Brendan Devaney, Damien Donnan and John O'Connor in here last weekend, and Donegal went to Roscommon last weekend, picked up their first points of the league, 16 points to 2-9. That's how it ended in Roscommon, two very important points. And I know from a lot of Donegal people that travel down, they're complaining of the cold in Roscommon, so I'm not sure if it's any colder in Roscommon than anywhere else, but certainly the journey home was a lot better for them than if they had lost. Also, congratulations to Rowan. I thought they were very unfortunate not to take the points in Croke Park on Saturday evening against Dublin, 1-7 to 10 points. Dublin coming with a late Dean Rock free, questionable free, it has to be said, but certainly Tyrone look like they're going to be the team to beat again in Ulster, the reigning champions. Derry not going so well, unfortunately. They've suffered a heavy defeat in Navan. Their second, well, no, they drew first time out, but certainly it looks as if Damien Barton and Derry are in a spot of bother in Division 2. Of course, the Sloughneil players, they may not be back until after St. Patrick's Day. Fermanagh certainly got off to a good start against Galway as well in Brewster Park, but the Galway men came back, and signs possibly that things are moving on in the Tyrone County again. But as I mentioned, we're just certainly to look back at the big game of the weekend, and certainly a game that has a club that has captured the imagination of quite a lot in the GAA community. That is all over the country. That is Sloughneil. Remember, the Camogie team are already in the All-Ireland final. The footballers now, and the hurlers will be hoping to join them next week, the week after next, when they play Dublin champions Coola. But earlier this evening, I spoke to John Joe Carney, the assistant manager to Mickey Moran. Well, John Joe, first of all, congratulations on your great success. The fairy tale continues.
Yeah, thanks very much, Tom. Yeah, the fairy tale, as you say, continues. We're waiting now on the hurlers to come through. I suppose the Camogues are in the All-Ireland final, and since that happened, I would have been saying to people, it would have been ironic if the Camogues were the first set of people to win an All-Ireland in the club. So I suppose we were conscious of that, at least coming into this game with St. Vincent's, that we would need to at least get to Ireland and
compete. The women were putting pressure on you.
They were putting pressure on us, and now the women and the footballers are putting pressure on the hurlers, and maybe that's a good thing.
So has it dawned on you yet, or even, you know, struck you that, you know, the enormity of what you've achieved already without even the hurlers getting through, you know?
Well, I think to a certain extent, you know, people's aware that it's a big thing. Probably, well, never has been done, and the possibility of the three would get to an All-Ireland final might never be repeated. And I think it's more special because, well, you've been to the, you know what it is. It's a, a crossroads and a community, and that's basically what it is.
On the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we continue on about what's ahead, just reflecting back to last Saturday's 12-10 victory, was it the greatest ever?
12-10.
Yeah.
It was very close to, at the last 5 minutes, I suppose, we're 3 points ahead. And in fairness to St Vincent's, they weren't going to lie down easily, and they brought it back to a point with a few minutes to go, and got a free kick, where our keeper took a short kick out to the right corner back position, and I suppose the young lad got isolated 2-1, and I think the referee gave it for overholding. It was tumbled to the ground, and Mossy Quinn had the opportunity at that stage to draw the match, but he kicked the ball across the front of the goal, and we got it cleared and went back up the field and got it free ourselves and left it with a 2-point margin. So, you know, we were pushed right to the end.
Yeah, and obviously mighty relief then at the end.
Oh, for sure. Like, you know, there was some stream of people onto that pitch now when the final whistle went.
Yeah. And was there much celebrating done over the weekend? Or do you celebrate semi-finals in Slochneil?
No, don't got to be now the wait to they get to the final or the after the final and celebrate one way or the other, win or lose.
Yeah. Anyway, I suppose after the victory and obviously the enormity of it, I suppose one of the key talking points after was Chrissy McKeag, 4 points, Dermot Connolly, not one, and Chrissy just had the marking job on him.
Well, that's it. On the day, Chrissy had done the job that he set out to do, and that was to make Dermot Connolly, I suppose, worry about him, and it worked a treat, and Chrissy, particularly in the second half, he just took the bull by the horns and went forward and had no inhibitions about having a pot from 45 yards, and some of the scores were from far out. So, you know, them 4 points were very, very important, obviously, when we only won by two. So it was a big factor in the win of the game.
So, and I know you can create a lot of credit for what has happened in Slochneil over the years and in the last few years along with Mickey Moran, but I suppose from what I'm reading, I think you can even claim greater credit for Chrissy's performance on Saturday. You had words of advice for him on Friday night. Maybe you tell us about those.
Well, I suppose Chrissy looked at the fact that if he was being tied up, Barton and Dermot Connolly, he wasn't going to be free to attack, and he was sort of pondering, you know, maybe Ben Rogers pick up Dermot Connolly and free Chrissy up. But all I said to him was, look, you know, why don't you let Connolly worry about you rather than you worrying about Connolly? I says, you go out and play your game, and if you get the chance to attack, go for it. And I suppose that's really what happened. We got Dermot Connolly on the back foot, and he scored 4 very good points from play.
And nearly
missed a fifth.
Yeah, Lee Keegan and Mayo fans must be looking on with a certain amount of horror and a certain amount of regret going back to last year's All-Ireland.
Possibly they will, in hindsight, think maybe that's the way we should have approached it. Now, it worked for us on the day. That's not to say it would work every day, like, you know, but for whatever reason, it was the right thing to do.
And I seen as well, you outplayed them in the second half and outscored them 7-4, was it?
Yeah, we went on a point down, I think it was 6-5 at half time, and they had missed a score or two in the first half, and so had we. Likewise, when Paul Bradley's first free, which you would have bet on him hitting, he just missed hit it and the keeper dropped short. Young Shane McGuigan missed what should have been, you know, an easy enough free for him. But I suppose games like that early on, you're getting frees, there's serious pressure on lads, and it's maybe only to be expected that, you know, the first pot that they have, it mightn't just go right for them. It's always a plus if it does, because I always found as a forward myself, if you get your first score, it was always someone to drive you on for the rest of the game, you know.
Yeah, and of course, as you mentioned earlier, the Camogie girls are in the final, the footballers are in the final, and what, the hurlers 2 weeks' time of an All-Ireland semi-final?
Saturday week, yeah, against Coola, and could have looked a good side now, but having said that, our boys had a great game against Lochiel in the Ulster final. Had a great start, and I suppose in the end they needed that, because in the last 5 to 10 minutes Lochiel came back at them, but they were worthy enough winners on the day, and they played exceptionally well. As it stands at the minute, much the same as for us on Saturday, everybody's got a clean bill of health, so we've been very fortunate this year in that we've managed the thing, I suppose, reasonably well. We have had very little injuries, I suppose. Strength and conditioning again has had a factor in that, and good physio work.
Yeah, and you have quite an overlap of players as well. How many of the footballers are on the hurling team and vice versa?
There's eight of what is the sort of the normal football team. There's eight of them starting in the hurling, and there'll be another few that are very close to the teams, the football teams and the subs.
Yeah,
will likely be starting in the football. You have Sean Cassidy, I can think of, Brian Cassidy. That's two that I can think of that's very close to getting a place on the senior team.
And as we mentioned,
Jared Bradley. Yeah. Jared Bradley's another that wasn't in the start. So there's 11.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, we mentioned Christy McCaig. He's actually not the captain of the footballers. He's captain of the hurling team.
He's not the captain of the hurling team. And I don't know. You just couldn't describe Christy. Christy's a professional. I mean, to say the nights at the hurling or that they wouldn't be training with the footballers, you know, and it's not a hurling night. He's at the pitch anyway. Him and Carr and young Anton Moore, the goalkeeper, would be from the same area and travel together. And you can bet on it that football training nights, the first three in the pitch are those three boys I just mentioned, and they're not just there a month or two before time, they're there at least 10 minutes before, and that's every night training, that's the same.
Yeah, and tell me, you mentioned about managing the two. How do you manage the two now, and say for the next couple of weeks, for the next 10 days or so, how do you manage it? Does hurling take priority?
Oh, aye, that's the rules of the game. Yeah, the hurlers now are totally away to the hurling. We'll not see them till after the hurling final, or after the hurling match, I should say. They're away. They won't be near footballers at all. So we probably end up in that situation where we'll be training with about 18 or 19 of the 34 that we would normally have.
Yeah.
So that's the way we keep it going, and there's never a problem.
Yeah, so obviously that the focus for the hurlers now is Coola on Saturday week in Armagh.
Yeah, that's what they have to look forward to, and they'll be up for it. You know, as I say, the fact that the other two codes are through will give them an incentive to not be a failure. So I mean, to say every one of them I know will be given 110% to try and win that game. And it'll just be whatever way it goes in the day, but it certainly won't be for the lack of trying on our players' behalf anyway.
Yeah. And when is the Camogue final?
It's on the 5th or 6th of March.
Yeah.
As far as I know now.
Yeah, so they have the opportunity now to be the first.
Oh, that's what I say. There's every job. And to be honest, if they play anything like what they played the last day, they'll not be far away, because I mean to say, if there was no commitment lacking. It was big time effort on their part. Every one of them, they played great.
Yeah, and talking about the Camogues for a minute. Obviously, there's quite a lot of brothers and sisters involved between hurling, football, and the Camogue.
Ah, there is. Yeah, there's on the Camogue team. There's a McCaig who would be a cousin of Chrissy and them. There's three Cassidy girls. You heard of their father Thomas Cassidy there, who died back short 19th of October. He was buried, died with cancer, a young man. He had been the big push around the club for years.
And he was the manager of the Camogie team, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was involved with them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had three girls playing in that Camogie team, one at full back, one at centre-half back, and one at centre-half forward.
Yeah.
And the three capable players. Just trying to think through the Camogie team.
And of course, for the footballers, you were in the All-Ireland, 2 years ago, lost to Cora Finn. And I was just looking this evening, actually, quite a few changes to the team. Maybe not to the panel, but maybe to the team.
Well, to the team, there's been a change at wing-half back for a young Keane Feeney, who came through from minors last year, has held his place there at wing-half back. And then the two half forwards, Shane McGuigan and Micheál McGrath, have come in and replaced Ronan Bradley and Padraig Kelly. And that's three new personnel that have been starting most games this year. Just young legs.
Yeah.
Those other men are still in the panel and very close. Ronan Bradley would generally get a run out most days in the last 15 minutes or so. And if this final is going to be in Croke Park, there's been no decision, I think, clear-cut decision made about that because of the problem with the hurling.
Yeah.
We'll definitely need to be giving more men a run out over the hour because Croke Park's sap sheet out and we'll have to be thinking about and they're using fresh legs, I'm sure.
Mm. And in terms of the footballers, what's the plan now between now and St. Patrick's Day or whatever?
Well, we'll just go forward for the next to the hurlers play on Saturday week with this group of about 19 players, and we'll do wee drills and warm ups. And once we get the complete panel back, then it'll be the next couple of weeks up to St. Patrick's Day will be for the footballers.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way we work it.
And have you got back to work yet this week?
We're back tonight.
Oh, brilliant.
Back tonight, just after the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we give them a wee break, you know, and we start back tonight now and we go again on Friday night.
Yeah, and it's Dr. Crokes of Killarney, are your opponents. It's Cora Finn 2 years ago. Are you a little disappointed maybe you're not getting a crack at Cora Finn to atone for that defeat?
Well, there are two ways of looking at it. You can approach it from that point of view that it might be an incentive to go out and do yourself justice, but, you know, it might work against you too, that you might have a slight spite factor of how the game went the last time and you didn't do yourself justice and you mightn't be in the right frame of mind for it. I think in hindsight, it's probably better just to have strange opposition and have a go at them.
Yeah.
And see how we go.
Do you ever get the feeling this year that, you know, sometimes we all get, you know, feelings and we all get strange feelings at times, but do you ever get the feeling that, you know, maybe our name is on the cup this year?
Well, we would like to think that, but there, as you know, there's no guarantees. Anything can happen over an hour's football. And, like, if you take the Cora Finn game, I'm sure, did you see it? Did you watch
it? Yeah.
You know, Cora or...
Dr. Crokes.
First goal was, I would say, hit for a point. I think the goalkeeper actually thought it was maybe just dropping over the bar. And to me, it was just a lucky goal.
They missed
a goal chance themselves. I think it was Gary Sake from the left-hand side. He hit one right across the front of the goals. Missed an opportunity. And the second goal that Dr. Crokes got, the full forward made a great run from the middle of the field. But nobody picked him up. He had a free run from the middle of the field to the 14-yard line and he offloaded it to a young fella that just had a side foot it in. So, you know, I don't know on the day. I'm not taking anything away from Dr. Crokes because they look a fairly formidable outfit and they look fitter than Cora Finn in some respects.
Hmm.
So I don't know whether Cora Finn came with the notion that they were going to win the game. Maybe they weren't in the right frame of mind, but for whatever reason, they weren't the team, or look, the same team that we played 3 years ago.
Yeah, or even that we saw in the Connacht Championship beating Castlebar.
Yeah, they were flying against St. Bridget's, but then I sort of said to myself afterwards, how good were St. Bridget's?
Yeah.
You know, you had all them things to factor in. But I would say Cora Finn would be disappointed with himself and that's taking nothing away from Dr. Crokes because they came to win the game and they won it.
Yeah. I know you've been highly involved in the club all your life, played for the club all your life and highly involved in coaching down the years and obviously in recent years. How important has Mickey Moran been to the whole new heights been scaled by Sláinte Éill?
Well, Mickey Moran will be remembered around Sláinte Éill forever and a day because, I mean to say, we wouldn't be where we are today without him. I have no doubt in that at all. He came in like his coaching ability and the way them lads coached to believe in his philosophy. And from us having, I suppose, a reasonably good squad, which Mickey was probably aware of, he's made that difference. There's no two ways about it. I can't say it. We would have done as well as we have done without him.
Yeah, certainly so. And a lot of people rooting for you.
Well, I would say, I hope so. I would say so. And as I say, as regards Mickey, there's no man would be more worthy of winning an All Ireland title with a club team than Mickey Moran for the amount of work that he's put in for the GAA throughout his lifetime.
And I know you have many great supporters, but I know there's one relation of yours still well into his 90s now, and still, I believe he was in Newry, Patsy Cassidy on Saturday.
He was in Newry, and I was talking to him during the week, and he got up from the table, and the only way he could get around the floor was hold on to the table. He was bothered with a sciatic nerve problem. And that didn't stop him, and sciatic nerve problem is not a good problem.
And he's what age now? What age is he?
Oh, he'll be maybe 92 now.
Brilliant, brilliant.
92.
Yeah, so...
It has kept him going. It has given him something to think about. And, you know, he really enjoys, he follows the camogie, the hurling and the football. He's at them all.
Yeah, well, he's had a busy year, and he's going to have a few more busy dates before the year's out. Look at John Joe, as always, we'll talk to you before the final. We may even go up for a night, but look at...
Well, that's fine, whatever. If you want to give us a ring and arrange something, Tom, that won't be a problem.
Look at, and congratulations again, and the best of luck on the final.
Thanks very much. See you sometime.
John Jacarney there, speaking to me earlier this evening. Of course, Lough Neil back training tonight for the first time since Saturday's All-Ireland semi-final victory over St. Vincent's of Dublin. Of course, St. Vincent's, the All-Ireland champions, a star-studded side. They even had a number of inter-county players among their subs on Saturday in Newry. But Sloch Neil came out on top on that one, 10 points to 8. A magnificent performance. Outscored St. Vincent's by 7 points to 4. And Chrissy McCaig, the star of the show once again, he... scored 4 points despite having the job of marking Dermot Connolly. So a lesson there for a lot of managers and a lot of coaches. Just to remind you, of course, that Sloch Neil hurlers are in that All-Ireland semi-final. It's in the Athletic Grounds in Armagh on Saturday week, in actual fact. And they're playing Coola of Dublin as well in that final. So they are through. And, of course, the ladies are also in the Camogie final. So it's a huge, huge... It's a great story, I have to say, that Sloch Neil story. It's a rural area, about, 200 or 300 houses. And certainly they are devoted, and certainly they're a really, really class GA people and community. And I know they've got their own Gaeltacht going as well, but certainly they're a model club. Certainly they give great heart as well to the weaker counties and the weaker clubs. And when people are talking about Dublin dominating Gaelic football, and Kerry and the likes of Donegal probably coming up there as well, and Tyrone and dominating, it certainly gives the weaker counties and the weaker clubs great heart indeed. So that's it for this week, and next week we'll be back once again. My thanks to my special guest tonight, John Joe Carney, who you just heard, and before that we heard John James McLaughlin, the Ifig na Gaeilge of the Naoimh Columba Club. But that's from me, from Tom Cormack. Until next week, Pio McCann coming up next with the Country Music Show.